Okay, tonight we're going to be looking at apostasy. So this morning Brother Huey said that he brought a message because he thought that you guys might have been sick of hearing about apostasy, but Brother Andy's come back with the title to tonight's message. It's called End Time Apostasy and the One World Church. And as Brother Huey was mentioning about the false churches that are around town, and we're going to be looking at what it says in the book of Revelation and how the Roman Catholic Church is that church. You know, a major theme of New Testament prophecy is the apostasy that will infiltrate the churches, beginning in the days of the apostles and increasing throughout the church age. Apostasy means to turn away from the New Testament faith. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, and this is a very familiar verse at Coastline. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. We'll look at verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day, Lord. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we find a lot of warnings in your word, Lord, for us. And, Lord, we thank you for that because, Lord, if it was just up to us, we'd be just running around doing all sorts of stupid things. But, Lord, we thank you that we can read in your word and you show us, Lord, what we need to do and what we need to look out for, Lord. I pray, Lord, that people tonight would have come with ears to listen and hearts to hear your word, Lord. And I pray you would bless each one that's come out tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Apostasy happens among those who profess Christ. Apostasy is not in the world, it is in the churches. The world has never cared about the truth of God's word. So the passage that we... the passage in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, the one we just read, is not talking about unbelievers. The apostasy that is described in this chapter is something that happens among those who have a form of godliness. And this refers to professing Christians or so-called Christians. Apostates turn away their ears from the truth because they don't like the truth. Apostasy is not a problem of ignorance. It is a problem of the will. It is willful rejection of the truth of God's word. Apostates turn from the truth because they want to live according to their own lusts. This is their motivation, to live according to their own lusts. They want a new kind of Christianity. One that doesn't put restrictions on how they live. When professing believers turn away from the truth, they are turned unto fables, as we have read. This describes how the devil blinds the minds of those who reject the truth and leads them into error. And the devil can only blind those who refuse to believe God's word. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. There's going to be a lot of scripture tonight, as always. Amen. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So because of their rebellion against God, men give the devil permission to blind them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 30 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In light of this prophecy, it's not surprising that the vast majority of churches today are apostate. The Bible teaches that apostasy will increase until a one world church is formed. This is signified by the religious harlot of Revelation chapter 17. where the pure bride of Christ becomes a wicked fallen woman. This downfall started during the days of the apostles. Demas was one of those who turned from the truth because he loved the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." The doctrine of Balaam and Jezebel was operating in the early churches. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, and we'll be looking at quite a bit of scripture in there tonight, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 14 and then verse 20. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 2 verse 14 says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." And we drop down to verse 20. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." The doctrine of Balaam and Jezebel has increased throughout the church age and is the doctrine that prevails among professing Christians today. According to this false doctrine, Christians think they have liberty to participate in the wicked things of the world. The harlot church is alive and expanding and nearing completion in the world today. Although it won't be complete until the time of the Antichrist, the harlot church is growing at an alarming rate around the world. It is being built up through many things. It is being built through the unity movement. So today, throughout Christianity, there is a call for unity. We are told that unity is more important than doctrine. We are told that we should not create divisions among Christians. We are told that we should not judge other Christians, but that we should join them in fellowship and ministry. We are told that the different denominations are like ice cream. There are many different flavours of Christianity, apparently. There's Roman Catholic, Anglican, Lutheran, Methodist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Evangelical, Baptist, Church of Christ, etc. But we cannot say, we're not allowed to say which one is right and that the other is wrong. We are told that we should learn from one another and not condemn one another. This ecumenical philosophy is creating the one world church. But the Bible teaches us to earnestly contend for the one true faith that was revealed during the days of the apostles. Paul taught that we are not to allow any other doctrine and that we are to separate from those who teach different doctrine. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." The harlot church is also being built by contemporary worship music, or contemporary Christian music, or CCM. CCM merges the things of Christ with the world's party music. The Christian rock philosophy is a Balaam Jezebel philosophy. CCM creates an appetite for the things of the world. It builds bridges to the world and to apostasy, so that the churches that use it become corrupted in doctrine and practice. And there is a close association between CCM and the Roman Catholic Church. The harlot church is being built by many other things, including the social gospel, kingdom building, the positive philosophy, that is, don't speak about anything negative or anything controversial, contemplative prayer, and the heresy of non-essential doctrines. The harlot church will take its final form after the rapture. And there's an outline of this timeline in the book of Revelation. Now, we haven't got a lot of time tonight to go into everything, so maybe I might have to bring another message about this same thing. So I'm going to skip through a few things here. You might like to, if you take notes, and have a look at it tonight or tomorrow or whatever. But in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus addresses the seven churches. And we can see in these chapters a description of the apostasy that began small in the days of the apostles, which is signified by the church of Ephesus losing its first love, and you'll find that in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and grows through the age until most of the churches are apostate, signified by the church of Laodicea, and you'll see that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through to 17. Let's turn there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. That should be just over the page, eh, Brother Hewitt? Just over the page? Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. Sorry, neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Just as John was called up to heaven in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, so will all of the New Testament believers be called up to heaven at the rapture. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through to 17. The faithful Philadelphia church of Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 is the church that signifies the true churches that still exist at the end of the age. It says in God's word in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, that they are weak, but they keep God's word. In Revelation chapter 6, the judgments begin to fall on the world of unbelievers for 7 years. During this time, the Antichrist will come to power. The harlot church will reign with him for a brief time. The apostate harlot church descends from the false religion established at Babel. Babylon is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The world's dark religions had their evil beginning with her. At Babel, the devil organized the first idolatrous religion. It was the beginning of the mystery religions that eventually permeated the world. It represented mankind united against the Creator and His holy laws. At the heart of Babylonianism is the worship of self, which is based on the lie that Satan said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, "Ye shall be as gods." And we'll find that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Babylon is the devil's world kingdom, with all of its religious, political, and commercial aspects. The head of this dark kingdom is called the God of this world and the prince and power of the air. The Babylonian religion has spread throughout the earth. Idolatrous towers were built all across Mesopotamia. These were devoted to the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And goddess worship was also prominent. And we looked at the Queen of Heaven and goddess worship last time I was up here when we were talking about Easter. The idolatry was practiced by the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire. It spread from the Middle East to Africa to Europe to North and South America and Oceania or Australia. The Roman Catholic Church is Christianized Babylonianism. As Brother Huey was stating before, it's a travesty of justice that it's called a church, and the people of the worldly people of this world look, when people say church, they immediately think of the Roman Catholic Church. The papacy, the mass, Mary worship, the rosary, the priesthood, all of these were borrowed from the idolatrous Babylonian religions. The ancient Babylonian mother goddess worship was the basis for Rome's doctrine of Mary. In the Bible, Mary is never called Queen of Heaven or the Mother of God. The pagan mother goddess has these titles. The images of the goddess Isis and her baby Horus were the models for the Madonna and Child that the Roman Catholic Church used. Babylon the Great in Revelation 17 is the final form of Satan's world religion and government. It is taking shape today and will come to power with the Antichrist during the tribulation and will be destroyed when Christ returns. Amen. Please turn with me to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 15. Revelation chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications, of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Mystery Babylon's headquarters is in Rome. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Rome is famous for her seven hills. Rome is the headquarters for the Roman Catholic Church, which is at the centre of the great harlot religious system. Mystery Babylon will probably be ruled by the Pope. I'm not saying that It will be ruled by the Pope. I'm saying probably. On August the 7th, 1977, Michael Ramsay, Archbishop of Canterbury, in the Anglican Church, said, "We should like to see the churches of England, Scotland, the United States, and any other countries bound together in one body. If the Pope would like to come in as chairman, we should all welcome him." Mystery Babylon is filled with blasphemy. "I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast full of names of blasphemy." This is true of the Roman Catholic Church. The titles of her popes are blasphemous. For example, Holy Father, His Holiness, and Vicar of Christ. Rome's Mass is blasphemous. It is blasphemous to claim that the bread actually becomes Jesus, and it is blasphemous to worship the bread when it is put into a box called a tabernacle in Catholic churches. Rome's doctrine on Mary is blasphemous. Rome has created fables about Mary's sinless birth, her bodily assumption into heaven, her coronation as Queen of Heaven, and her intercession for sinners. St. Mary Major Church in Rome, which was built to honour Mary as the Mother of God. It features a large mosaic on the ceiling depicting Mary sitting with Jesus on His throne and being crowned by Him as Queen of Heaven. Outside of the St. Mary Major Church, Mary is even depicted hanging on the cross with Jesus. The blasphemy is not limited to the Roman Catholic Church. It is actually spreading throughout Christianity. It is blasphemous to mix holy things of Christ with unholy rock music of this world. The emerging churches even go further in their blasphemy by performing secular rock songs in their church services. New Spring Church in Florence, South Carolina, performed "Highway to Hell" by AC/DC for Easter service in 2009. North Point Church of Springfield, Missouri performed "Sympathy for the Devil" by the Rolling Stones for their Easter service in 2011. It is also blasphemous to say that God accepts the moral perversion of homosexuality. It is blasphemous to say that the God who sends sinners to hell is a mean God, but this is what some of the emerging church people are saying. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour in Revelation chapter 17, verse 4. The apostles and Christians of the early churches lived simple lives, built simple churches. But apostate Christians love impressive cathedrals, flowing robes, ritualism, candles and incense, and expensive clothing. Revelation chapter 17, verse 4 describes exactly how Rome's bishops and archbishops and cardinals and popes are clothed today. Many of the emerging churches are moving in the direction of Rome by adopting things such as candles, incense, dim lighting, ambient music, labyrinths, icons, prayer stations, art, dance, meditation, chanting, and contemplative prayer. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, "The great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." She is described as a whore. This refers both to spiritual and physical fornication. Apostasy has always been associated with living after the lusts of the flesh. The Roman Catholic Church has been immoral throughout its history. After Martin Luther visited Rome, he observed, "If there is a hell, Rome is built over it." And he was referring to the wickedness that he found in that city. Many of the popes who were supposed to be celibate committed fornication. Pope John X, who ruled from 955 until 963 is described by the Catholic Encyclopedia as a coarse, immoral man whose life was such that the Lateran Palace was spoken of as a brothel. Pope Sixtus the Fourth, from 1471 to 1481, erected a house of prostitution in Rome. Pope Pius II and Pope Innocent VIII each had at least two illegitimate children. Pope Alexander VI had at least four illegitimate children, whom he made rich through church positions. And Pope Alexander held unspeakable orgies in his palace and kept married women as his mistresses. Pope Julius II had at least three illegitimate children. And the list goes on and on. Throughout the world, Roman Catholic priests are infamous for homosexuality and child abuse. According to Roman Catholic Bishop Pat Buckley, studies have shown that 80% of Catholic priests in Ireland have broken their vows of celibacy. In America, Rome has paid over $1 billion to settle court cases against child molesting priests. Most of these priests are homosexuals. A 2004 study found that 5,184 priests had been charged with committing this wickedness. The rock and roll Christianity of these last days is filled with immorality. Rock and roll Christians live as the same as the world. They love the world's wicked movies, they love the television programs, the world's music, the world's immodest dress fashions, the world's vain sports stars, the world's video games, and the world's internet sites. Even homosexuality is widely accepted amongst the rock and roll churches. Revelation chapter 17, verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. This is an accurate description of the wealth of the Roman Catholic Church. The crown of Pope Paul II, back in 1464, was set with diamonds and sapphires, emeralds, chrysolites and jaspers. The wealth of the Catholic Church is vast. In the 1970s, the Vatican was the third wealthiest nation behind America and Japan. Now, based on landmass, the Vatican City is the smallest country in the world, measuring just 0.32 square kilometres. And yet in 1977, it was the third richest nation in the world. The wealth also describes the Protestant denominations and evangelicalism and the charismatic movement today. Like the Church of Laodicea, they are rich and increased with goods. Evangelical and charismatic churches are large and prosperous. Their colleges and publishing houses are rich and influential. Their radio and television ministries are heard by millions. Some of the evangelical and charismatic leaders own multiple mansions and fly around the world in their own private luxury jets. In 2006, churches in America spent $8.1 billion just on audio and projection equipment. $8.1 billion. An article in Christianity Today on October 2006 entitled "Let's Improve the Public Perception of Evangelicalism" stated this: "We now have institutional resources and influential churches to a degree barely hoped for 50 years ago. Our people are better educated and more affluent. Our global networks are connecting believers like never before." This is more representative of the apostate church of Laodicea and the harlot church in Revelation 17 than the simple churches founded by the apostles. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5, the mother of harlots. She has many daughters who share her character. This refers to the ecumenical movement that is joining together all branches of Christianity. Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Protestant, Baptist, Pentecostal, Evangelical, Charismatic, etc. The ecumenical movement is even bringing Christians together with pagan religions. The emerging harlot church was seen at the 1983 World Council of Churches General Assembly in British Columbia, Canada. That was 35 years ago, 1983. The World Council of Churches is made up of more than 340 denominations, representing roughly 500 million professing Christians. The opening ceremony in 1983 was led by a North American nature-worshipping Indians who burned fish and tobacco in a fire to their pagan gods. 3 Hindus, 4 Buddhists, 2 Jews, 4 Muslims, a Sikh, participated in the assembly. There were readings from Hindu, Buddhist and Muslim scriptures. A Hindu woman from South India performed a pagan dance to the Earth Mother Goddess. Philip Potter, General Secretary of the World Council of Churches, said that it is God's will to unite all nations in their diversity into one house. Dirk Mulder, moderator of the World Council of Churches Interfaith Dialogue Program, said that a Buddhist or Hindu can be saved without believing in Jesus. There were also evangelicals who participated in this abominable conference. Clearly, this is the church of Revelation 17. The emerging harlot church was also seen on January the 24th, 2002, when Pope John Paul II led the Day of Prayer for Peace in Assisi, Italy. The interfaith prayer gathering featured some 200 religious leaders, including representatives of Christian denominations, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Anglican, Reformed, Baptist, Lutheran, Mormon, Mennonite, as well as representatives of Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Baha'ism, Confucianism, Shintoism, Buddhism. Prominently featured were 29 Muslim leaders from such countries as Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Sudan, Morocco, and Libya. All of these nations persecute Christians to varying degrees. The emerging harlot church is seen in the contemplative prayer movement, which is spreading quickly throughout Christianity. This movement borrows practices from the old Roman Catholic monasticism system, which in turn were borrowed from the pagan Babylonian religions. The contemplative prayer movement promotes the writings of Roman Catholic mystics. Many within the contemplative prayer movement are openly promoting Zen Buddhism and Hindu yoga, which are Babylonian religions. The late Thomas Merton, one of the most influential men of the movement, was both a Buddhist and a Catholic monk. The contemplative prayer movement puts professing Christians into communication with demons that are the powers behind the ancient Babylonian idolatry. Many of the most influential evangelical leaders are recommending contemplative prayer, and these include Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, Beth Moore, Max Lucado, Philip Yancey, Lee Strobel, and Charles Stanley. There is already a harlot church, and it's taking shape and sitting upon many waters. Revelation chapter 17, verse 6, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." It has been estimated by reputable historians that during the Roman Catholic Inquisition, 50 million people were killed for the crime of heresy. And this happened between AD 600 and AD 1850. Sounds like a long time ago, but 1850 was only 168 years ago. During the Great Tribulation, terrible persecution will be unleashed against those who refuse to submit to the Antichrist, and the harlot religion will be intimately aligned with him. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through to 11, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that shall be killed as they were should be fulfilled. In conclusion, the New Testament describes two types of churches, true church and a false church. But false churches will outnumber the true churches by far and will eventually be formed into the great worldwide harlot church. And this is what we see happening before our very eyes today. There will be true churches in the world, like here at Coastline, amen. There will be true churches in the world until Jesus takes them away through the rapture. And if you want to quickly turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and chapter 4 verse 18 says, Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So after all this horrific things we've just heard about, well, I will comfort you with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore comfort one another with these words.